As you mentioned, I'm speaking on the relationships of yield component variables to yield and fiber quality parameters. And when we sent titles in, that sounded like a real good idea to talk about. As we got to trying to run this thing down, we understood why this has been going on, this research, since the first person began to breed cotton. It's about as difficult to get your arms around as to navigate through the Upperland Hotel. And so what we're going to be presenting today is the some of the preliminary data from the study that we've conducted, and there will be more of this to come in the future. Someone asked me in my graduate work, what am I working on? And I told them yield stability. And they said, well, why work on yield stability? Yield stability really isn't a problem. We've been doing, let's see, where's that thing? There it is. We've been doing pretty good. That looks like a pretty good upward trend without a whole lot of variability in it. Looks like we've got stability handled. But if you look at stability at a given location, you can see the differences here of about a 250-pound swing, a 300-pound swing. This is our northeast station. This is our southeast station. That's about a little over 200-mile distance in the Arkansas Delta. And the areas in red here were the higher-yielding location in a given year. So you can see that overall, from a mean, from the Ag Statistics Service information, it looks like we're improving, but there's considerable variability out there. So what's the cause for all of this? Why do we see these swings both up and down? Dr. Hal Lewis was asking himself that question when he took a trip out to the San Joaquin Valley. And so he got together some numbers of information from 2002 through 2006, and he noticed that, first of all, they just do a lot better job than we do out there, apparently, because they're growing 1,300 pounds, and we're only managing 700 pounds. But something that really jumped out at him is we're producing a whole lot more seed per acre than they are. And we all know there's only so many photosynthates available, and if we're sending them to our seed, we're probably not sending them to our lint, and lint's what we get paid on. And so he also noticed that they have a whole lot higher lint index following along that same thinking. Well, if you consider just the basic yield equation, you can get there either by increased seed per acre or increased fiber weight per seed, which is real close to lint index, a decimal point difference. So he put it together that lint index could serve as a selection tool for yield stability, which I thought was a common sense approach to that. So how did we get here? How did we get to where we are today? Well, I mean, way back in 1920, Hodson was evaluating lint frequency as a way to improve yield and looking at the value of seed surface area, and that's where the volumetric displacement method came that we're all so familiar with today. Visiting with Dr. Jones yesterday, and that became very timely information for today's presentation. And he brought me up to speed on a study that was conducted by Bro and Furman in the mid-50s, and they found that both seed index and bowl size, these were separate studies, but looking at similar things. Anyway, seed index and bowl size were both negatively correlated to lint yield. However, bowl number, lint percent, and lint density index were positively correlated. Well, they had two different issues they were trying to resolve at that time. When we talk about seed size, that's kind of relative to what time in cotton production you're associated with. And at that time, the seeds were larger than what they cared for them to be. So they were trying to reduce the seed index and increase the lint percent at the same time. And so they took that route to increase lint yield. Is that correct, Dr. Jones? And so at the time, that was the best solution to the problem. And that's certainly the way that I would have went too. Lint density index, Thurman said, was another way we'd get there, but it was a little more difficult to quantify. And so they went the opposite route. They weren't the only ones. There were several people who went down this road, and multiple people have done research in this area. I'm quite certain I'm leaving several out. I just put a few in. Bridge and others, and Miller and Rawlings have all observe that if you want increased lint yield, then that's going to wind up being coming through increased seeds per bowl, which obviously is going to lead to smaller seeds and smaller bowls. McNew from Arkansas found that high micronaire cultivars tended to be more stable. So now around the 2003 time period, we're not so interested in Lent yield anymore. We're starting to pay a little more attention to stability. But I'm not sure that's a trade-off that any one of us in here are comfortable going to our producers with. And so Dr. Borlin has been doing some evaluation, been doing some work evaluating fiber density as a selection criteria. So what is fiber density? Well, the equation is on the bottom, and fiber density involves fibers per seed. So first let me explain what fibers per seed is. To get fibers per seed, you take the Lent index divided by the length and uniformity in micronarrative divided by a million. Once you have this value, or you can spend a lot of time counting, just whichever way comes best to you. Once you have these fibers per seed value, then you divide that basically by the seed surface area divided by 1,000, and all that's just mathematical manipulation to get the unit standardized. But anyway, that's our fiber density component. So our objective of this study was to evaluate the influence of yield components and fiber traits on Lent yield, and also to identify selection criteria for improved Lent yield and stability. There was no need in reinventing the wheel and creating a bunch of data. We had a bunch of data handy through the Arkansas variety testing and the breeding program. So what we did was mine the data through three different studies: the strain study from the breeding program, and the variety test data from both the irrigated and non-irrigated trials over a seven-year period across four locations. And we decided to look at the effects of each one of these independent variables on a given dependent variable through path analysis, and used PathSAS as a tool to get there. The four locations we used, I mentioned earlier, the Arkansas Delta goes from about 200 miles there, and these are research stations we use. So we have a good difference as far as climate and soil type is concerned. So we feel like we have a lot of variability from the environmental standpoint. Regarding our path analysis for these three different studies, they're all laid out in the same way. Let me take just a minute to explain how we did this. With path analysis, you have both direct effects, indirect effects, and correlations. The data I'm presenting today is only regarding the direct effects. The correlations are listed, but I'm specifically speaking about the direct effects. And the first assumption that has to be made in path analysis is a path diagram has to be created. And so this is the diagram that we decided on. And so we ran the analysis. And what we found in our strain test was that seed per acre has the greatest contribution on Lent yield. Seed surface area and fiber density don't appear to be contributing too much in a strain test. Why is that? Well, it's a strain test. We don't have a lot of genetic diversity in a strain test. If we had more genetic diversity, we'd probably be producing more varieties than we do. So if we look at it from a variety standpoint, and this is really the slide we need to pay the most attention to, seed per acre still has the greatest contribution, but we all know breeding for seeds per acre is a low heritability trait, and so it's kind of like pushing the rope sometimes as to how to get there. Fiber density has a higher association with Lent yield than does seed surface area. Actually, seed surface area is negatively correlated, and so that's the route that we would want to take. If you track this back through each one of these paths, you wind up right back to Lent index, where Hal Lewis said we should have been to start with. We believe fiber density is a little better criteria for selection because it standardizes the seed size, thereby reducing some of the variability and increasing the stability. Finally, in the non-irrigated path analysis, again, seeds per acre contributed the most. Density was about half of what seed surface area was here. But in a path analysis, you want these direct effects to total one. Obviously, that's a lot larger than one. So why is that? Well, it's a non-irrigated study, and we all know about the consistency of non-irrigated studies. So in conclusion, we found that seed per acre really had the greatest direct effect, but again, it's not a highly heritable trait, so I don't know that's something we need to be keying in on, and plus I believe we've taken the seed size about as small as what we're comfortable going. Variety test contained a wider genetic base, and therefore was probably a truer genetic relationship of what's actually happening from a genetic basis. And irrigated trials showed a greater level of consistency. So if there's anyone out there still making selections in non-irrigated trials, that could be something you might want to consider. Finally, we say fiber density may be able to serve as a selection criteria for increased lint yield and stability. So at the end of the day, here we are, Dr. Jones, 55 years after the LSU people told us what to do, and we didn't listen to them then. So everything that goes around comes around, doesn't it? And I'd like to acknowledge Cotton Incorporated. Yes, sir. I haven't been able to find any. I'm not going to say there's not. I haven't been able to find them. Yes, sir, Dr. Stewart. The Mid-South had the higher seed per acre. The San Joaquin Valley was producing lower seed per acre. Is that what you're asking?
Well, I'm trying to remember. Maybe the number of seed per bulb is actually on the Jackson Hill seed. It seems like there'd be an environmental effect.
Well, I didn't have Jackson, Tennessee in the slide set. So I don't guess I understand the question.
Any other questions?
Okay.